All right. How's everybody doing tonight, huh? You guys doing good? Hey, I want you to help me welcome right now. We have several of our campuses online right now. We're doing lead syncs all over the Jacksonville area tonight. Come on, let's put our hands together and welcome them in. Want to give a big hello to our Orange Park, St. John's, and Camden County campus. And St. Aug, I'm not sure if you guys are online tonight, but if you are, we welcome you guys as well. And everyone watching via the internet. Once again, want to just welcome everyone. This is Wide Open Leadership. And it's the leadership gathering of Celebration Church for our leaders and those interested in leadership. But we call it Wide Open Leadership because we want to make it open to everyone to come in to investigate leadership here at Celebration Church, kind of get a little bit of the behind-the-scenes, inside info. It's where we always kind of give some of our vision out there for what's coming up. And so I want to thank you for coming and spread the word. I think a lot of people still think this is a leaders-only meeting, and it is for our leaders, but it's also obviously wide open to everyone else. So get the word out. We only have four of these a year. They're very important, and I believe that God is going to speak to us tonight, and I'm really fired up. I'm fired up. If you are at our Midtown campus, that was our youth band. Come on, with the exception of a couple of people, that was our youth band, Fuse Band. Fuse Band, and we always want our Fusers to be in the room with us because they are not the next generation, they are this generation. And they are the leaders that are going to take the gospel and the kingdom of God into this generation. And so we're excited for all of our Fusers that are here. Man, didn't Keith do a great job? There is a plethora of information. Where's Keith at? Come on. Keith, man, way to go, man. Where's Keith? Oh, he's over here. They're all taking credit. Some guys standing up over there taking the credit. Come on, give Keith a hand. Keith, one more time. So, sorry about that to all the campuses. I know you can't see Keith, but he's a real sharp young guy. And great job tonight. Plethora of information. But please, there is a plethora of information on leadership here, but you need to go to LeadSync, and we tell you about pursuing leadership, experiencing leadership, and of course, advanced leading here at Celebration Church. We need you plugged in. We need you involved. There's so much opportunity here at Celebration Church. It's not the land of opportunity, but it is the church of opportunity in the gospel. We need you to lead. We want you to lead. We want you involved. You know, anything from just gathering some people together for a Devo group, we could take you all the way to leading an extension service or a campus if that's the call of God on your life. And so thank you, everyone, for being here tonight. Once again, welcome to everyone online. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. I want to talk to you tonight about Spirit-filled leadership. Spirit-filled leadership. And before we get into that, I want to share a couple of scriptures. And I always share this scripture along with our mission and our vision here at Celebration Church at our Wide Open Leaderships. First of all, Matthew 16:18. Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Couple of really important things about this passage of scripture. This is the first time that Jesus mentions the word church. And so obviously we understand from the law first mentioned that this scripture here has interpretive context to every other time the word church is mentioned in the New Testament. And a couple of things that Jesus says in this passage of scripture. First of all, he says, "I will build my church." Everybody say my church. Jesus, he doesn't call it a church. He doesn't call it the church. He doesn't call it, you know, some church. He says, look, this is my church. It's possessive language. The church is what Jesus is most possessive of. It's what he cares about the most. And he says that, look, he is going to build his church. I want to thank all of you that are here tonight or at any of our locations that are serving, that are leading. I want to thank you for building what is most precious to Jesus, and that is his church, the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church will always be prevailing. We will always be moving forward. And we all know that the church doesn't just grow. It's built, and you guys are out there putting your hands to the plow. You're serving, you're leading, you're being part of Jesus' team, helping him to fulfill his dream of building his great church. Come on, can you give God a hand for that, huh? I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that. And of course, here at Celebration Church, our mission statement is we are leading people to experience a God-first life. That's what we do here. If you're leading, if you're serving, that's what you're helping us do. You know, if you notice, there's a lot of action in that mission statement. We are leading people to experience the God-first life. Because our journey with Christ, it is a process, isn't it? So when you talk about discipleship is a process. We are never just discipled, but we're always being discipled. Can I have a good amen to that, where Jesus said, follow me. In other words, we're constantly following Jesus. And so we're constantly growing in our relationship with God. And that's what we value here at Celebration Church. We value growing in our relationship with God, living and experiencing the God first life, and helping others to experience the God first life. And kind of some of the main things, we call them five streams. There's five practical streams where we carry out that vision of leading people to experience the God first life. So you can think of it like this, like your hand, most of your hands have five fingers. Am I right? See, some of you have six, some of you have four, but the majority of us, we have five fingers. So you can think about the five streams like that. Our first stream, the way that we lead people to experience a God first life, is through our weekend services. A weekend service, that's where we come in. Come on, we learn to worship. We have corporate prayer. We sit in the anointing. We learn to experience the presence of God. We sit under the Word of God. That's one way, and a very important way. Jesus says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, where we experience the God first life and lead others to do the same. So the Sunday morning environment, that's a place where you can invite your friends, invite your family. Come on, I encourage you, the great first place to bring somebody is to a Sunday morning service, not an encounter night. Come on, how many of you are in the encounter night last Sunday night? Well, that was all. We're going to have encounter nights every month throughout the year. I'm going to talk about that. Yeah, isn't that great? So, but that's a specific environment, that encounter night. That's, going deeper in God, experiencing the Holy Spirit, things like that. But our weekend services. Then the next thing that's big for us in leading people to experience a God-first life is personal devotion. Everybody say Devo. It's so, so important. You having a personal time with God every day. In prayer and Bible reading, we have the bookmarks out there. This year in our church, if you haven't heard, my weekend messages are going to go along with our personal Devo. So every weekend that I'm speaking, it's going to be either out of a passage that week or maybe one just coming up out of that Bible reading. This past weekend, I talked, of course, about Abram out of all those chapters. Come on, I walked you through about four chapters in God's Word. Could you hang with me on that? So we're going to get deeper, and so personal devotion, that's very, very important to us in our personal growth. The other thing is groups. Everybody say groups. Groups. Groups would be our small groups, our classes. Now we have Devo groups. That's something that's real important to us, where you just gather a group of family or friends, and y'all gather once a week and just talk about what your favorite Devo was. Very easy, very simple. I believe that everybody can lead a Devo group. I'm in a Devo group. Orange Park, Pastor Chris, your location pastor, he is in my Devo group. And I want to tell you, it's really helped him overcome a lot of his issues and a lot of heresy that he was evidently preaching out there that we got corrected. So I'm only kidding. Hey, I know I'm always picking on Chris in Orange Park, but I want to just let everyone know, this year, one of the strategic shifts that we're making in our weekend services is I plan on making fun of you, Dennis, and all of our other campus pastors, especially as long as it's just one-way feed right now. So until it gets bi-directional where I know you can't get me back, and Camden, you guys too, everybody's in for it this year. So there's groups, you know, our classes, and if you'll look on the website or in your bulletin, you know, we're trying to make that simpler when we talk about, you know, really our groups, our classes. There's four areas. There's faith, there's family, there's finance, and there's freedom. Those are the four main discipleship arenas that we should always be growing in. So if you look in our groups and our classes, there's some on faith. There's some on finance. Finances are so, so important because it can cause us so much stress and worry. Faith, finance, your family. You know, we all go through different stages at marriage and kids. And then, of course, freedom, our breakthrough class. That's a really big one, a really important one. So there's that. There's our serving teams. Everybody say serving. Come on, Jesus has called us to serve. You can't be like Jesus unless you serve, because he said he was a servant first. Before he was a leader, he came not to be served, but to what? Serve. So there's serving teams. And then the last one is outreach or missions. We believe that everyone should be involved, whether it's here in Jacksonville or an extension gathering or a mission trip. We believe that everyone should be involved in outreach or missions in some way, shape, or form. And I really encourage you to go on a missions trip this year. If at all possible, it will change your life. Amen? Amen. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So Paul's talking to Timothy, and first of all, both of these books, 1 and 2 Timothy, they are great books for leadership. Great books for leadership. In these books, Paul is instructing, he's training, he's encouraging his disciple, who is also a pastor, Timothy here. And in this passage of Scripture, he tells Timothy, he says, look, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. And see, what I found is that in every church, there is a pattern of words that helps to communicate the mission and vision. And it's so important as a church, regardless of where you are, regardless of what celebration church you're tuning in from right now, it's so important that our church as a whole, we have the same language when it comes to mission and when it comes to vision. Can I have a good amen to that? If you're not speaking the same language, then there's going to be confusion. And so Paul says, look, there's not only the words that I've taught you, but there is a pattern of these words that's going to help form the culture, and everyone needs to be in on the pattern of those words. In other words, everybody, look, Celebration Church, we have one mission statement. It's leading people to experience a God-first life. That is the language we use. That is our pattern. Are you following me? It's not, well, we're here to, you know, lead people to Jesus. We are. But that's not the pattern of our language. Where we're here to, you know, glorify God. Of course we're here to glorify God. But when we are talking about what is our mission, the pattern of our language is we are leading people to experience a God-first life. We do a whole lot of things in our church, but it really can be boiled down to those five streams of how we practically carry out the vision. You know, in 3 John 2, there's a scripture that says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Now, I want you to think about that for a second, okay? When it's talking about your soul prospering, okay, what is your soul made up of? Your mind, your will, and your emotions, your personality, right? Your mind, your will, and your emotions, your personality, okay? Well, every church has a soul. Every church has a personality. Every church has a... Now, we're all... Jesus is the head of the church universal. And all of us, our mission can be summed up in the Great Commission. Am I right? However, each church has a personality. Aren't you glad that God is a God of diversity? And while we all serve the same Jesus, and there's one faith, and there's one Lord, and there's one baptism, and there's one great commission, even though we all serve the same Jesus, in each church there's a uniqueness, there is a soul of that church. So the soul is the mind, will, and emotion. So you can think of the mind. That's the vision of the church. There's the will. That would be the mission of that church. And then there's the emotions or the personality. That would be that church's culture or the DNA. And that's why Paul's saying is, look, you need to make sure that everybody, that soul needs to be healthy. So everybody needs to be syncing up under the mission, the vision, and the personality or the language, the unique culture of that church. And Paul says, what I want you to do, Timothy, and what you need to remember now is that you've got to keep this in the Holy Spirit. See, because as the soul of the church prospers, everything else in the church is going to prosper. Just in your own personal life, if your soul is prospering, if you're doing well in your heart, in your relationship with God, everything else in your life is going to prosper. And in the same way that God wants our souls, our individual souls, spiritually healthy and prospering and thriving so that everything else in our life can line up. It goes right with our mission statement, or the scripture that goes with our mission statement. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you. You know what that means? If your soul's prospering with God, everything else you need will work out. It comes right back to if this year will be your best year ever, if it's your best year spiritually. This is the language. This is the pattern that we use in Celebration Church. That's why we say we are a God-first church. Listen, I don't have all the answers for your life. I don't even ask me for them. This is what I know. I know if you put God first, it'll all work out. I know if you really surrender to God and you really put him, well, I have questions, well, I have issues. I don't know how all that's going to work out. Here's what I know. It will work out if God's first in your life. Everything else will happen and function correctly if your soul is prospering with Jesus. Can you give God a good amen for that? And so we want, like in this wide open leadership, our leaders and those that, you know, our staff, our leaders and those that serve, you guys are the soul of the church. You know, Celebration, we have over 10,000 people on the weekend. But really the soul, it's a very small number in comparison to 10,000. But what really matters for the church to move forward and for everything to be healthy is the soul of the church. That's us. And Paul is saying, look, Timothy, if you're going to hold fast to the pattern, if you're going to keep the soul of the church healthy, the only way that you can do that is by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you've got to focus on Spirit-filled leadership. And that's what I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight, church and our leaders. I want to talk to you about Spirit-filled leadership because I have learned, I've been pastoring the church for 12 years now, and I have learned that the number one thing in leadership, listen, I've been to all of them. I've been to all the leadership conferences. I've been to all the church growth conferences. John Maxwell, leadership guru, good friend of mine. I sit at his house. I mean, I've got 21 laws of leadership. I've got the 25 laws of this leadership. I've got this, I mean, the number one principle of leadership for the believer, for the Christian leader, is guarding the fire of devotion in your heart. It's the number one principle. If you will guard the fire of devotion in your heart, and what I mean by that is being a person that is putting energy into being Spirit-filled and your relationship with God fresh, and your soul prospering, everything else will work out. And any church that has that same passion, vision, understanding, any church that will guard that fire of devotion, Any church that understands that the number one thing before anything else is to guard that fire of devotion and make sure that we are a spirit-filled staff. We are going to fan into flame the gift of God. Listen, this church is Jesus' church, and we serve a supernatural God. And anything that's going to last is going to be done by the Holy Spirit. You know, men, there's a lot of things that men can do. And there's a lot of churches, I would say, that have a lot of man-made elements in them. But at the end, they won't have the eternal impact that God wants them to have. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about being a just spirit-filled leadership. Having a spirit-filled, a Christ-like culture. You know, it's so funny. You know, all the church growth conferences that I go to and I hear things about goals and stuff like that, I hardly ever hear any goals about being Christ-like. That is the goal. I just want to set it for the record. In case anybody's wondering, what is the number one goal for 2011 for the celebration staff leadership? It's to be Christ-like. It's to be spirit-filled, and it's to be like Jesus. That's number one. Our number one goal is not just to have a big church. Our number one goal is not to have all these campuses and books and television ministry. Our number one goal is to be like Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what it's always been about. It's not to build buildings, even though we need to build that building. You know what I found? You focus on Jesus, all the rest of that stuff gets taken care of, because when we're filled with the Spirit, we're more in tune to the Word, and we're just more obedient. How many of you found that? You're just more obedient. See, this is the problem. The challenge is not, you know, for in whatever campus, whatever your imagined projects are, the challenge is not, the money is here. Everything that we need is right here in God's house. You know what the challenge is? It's like I talked about this past Sunday. The challenge is obedience. The challenge is people being spiritually in tune enough to God, where when God deals with them about giving an amount of money and obeying Him in that area, and there's a huge blessing attached to that, that they could respond in faith and not back away in fear. Do you see? So really, the key is for the church to be as spirit-filled as possible, so we can hear the voice of God clearly, so that we can all obey whatever God tells us to do. That's just not for that. I mean, that's for any area in your life. Can I have a good amen? Are y'all following me? Okay. Let me just, so here's what I found. Here's what I found the last few years. Here's what I've done. Over the last few years, you know, I used to do a whole lot talking about our church culture. You know, we're an accepting church, and we're an energetic church, and try to describe our church personality. I did a whole lot of that in the first 6-7 years of the church. But what I've done the last few years is, here's what I've noticed. I've just started to take notice what our staff acts like and what the personality of our staff and our leadership is, when I would say we are at our, if I could use this language, at our most spirit-filled state. In other words, like right now, we're in the season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so obviously, our staff and our church, we're very spirit-filled right now. We're not food-filled. We're spirit-filled. But I'm believing, God, that we keep this momentum throughout the year. And you know, we came pretty close last year. Last year was a great year in terms of spiritual momentum. But what I'm saying is, I've noticed things about our church and about our staff, like when we have spiritual momentum, or if I could say we're more Christ-like or we're more spirit-filled, I've noticed these qualities, and I've noticed these things about our church personality. And so I started to take note of them and write them down. And so I want to share those with you tonight. And so instead of saying, hey, this is our church personality, since we're Jesus's church anyway, I've said, okay, when we're most Christ-like, when we're most being like Jesus, what do we look like? What does our personality look like? How many of you know when you're full of Jesus, your personality is a whole lot better than when you're not full of Jesus? So here's what I've noticed about our step. I have 7 here. This might change. I might have 10 by the end of this year, but right now I have 7. So when we are guarding the fire of devotion, when we're putting the number one principle of self-leadership into practice, when our goal is to be spirit-filled, here's what I've noticed about our staff and our leadership. Are you ready? I'm going to give you 7 things real quick. Number one is honor. I notice that our staff is a very honoring staff and our leadership is a very honoring leadership. Honor means to ascribe value to. You know, just a leadership principle, influence is gained through honor. And whatever you don't honor, you will not have access to. So those things, say someone's ahead of you in business or ministry or your career or whatever like that, and you see kind of God putting you in that direction, I encourage you to honor that person, honor that office, because you will not gain access to that which you don't honor. Honor brings influence. And what I've noticed about our staff and our church, what I mean is I just see our staff honoring one another, not just honoring me, but honoring one another, honoring God more, ascribing value, not taking one another for granted. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The second thing I see is humility. And here's what I mean by humility and how humility's worked out in a practical way. I see people not being offended at things that shouldn't offend them. You know how you're, can I give you a humility test? You ready? It might be a little bit convicting. But this, you want to know the humility test? I'll give it to you right now, okay? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That was in the context of when he was talking about leadership. He says, so whoever wants to be the greatest among you must be a servant of all. So what Jesus did, when he identified who he was, he identified himself as a servant first and a leader second. So let me ask you this. Do you see yourself as a leader who serves? Or do you see yourself as just a servant that's been given an opportunity to lead? Big, big difference. Because if you see yourself as a leader first, and then a servant. In other words, I'm a leader first, and then I'm a servant. Some things you think will be beneath you. Some things will happen to you, and you'll take offense at them. People won't treat you right, and you'll get offended. You won't get your way, and you'll get offended. Somebody will just give you a bad look, and you'll get offended. But if you're a servant first, and you realize, hey, in this season, I've been given this opportunity by God to steward this. I'm a servant first. Then when you're treated like a servant, it won't bother you. That's the humility test. When you're treated like a servant, do you take offense? Because if you see yourself as a servant and you understand that the king of this universe, who was perfect, saw himself as a servant. It's awfully quiet in here. That's why we say at Celebration Church, the goal is more important than the role. Don't get stuck on you being in this position or in this ministry or that ministry. Be thankful that you're serving and moving the kingdom of God forward. We might change that ministry tomorrow. God might direct us to a different thing. We might need you to serve in another place. It's not about the role. Come on. It's about the goal. It's about moving the ball down the field for the gospel. Especially in America, man, we get so offended. You can get offended every day. Some of you are getting offended at me right now. You know what I'm saying? And we complain about everything. You know, when complaining is up, trust is down. When you're complaining, all you're doing is showing all of us how little trust you have in God. Do you really believe that God's in control of your life? Do you really believe what the Bible says, that God's going to cause all things to work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose? And we got a lot of fusers in the house tonight. And fusers, listen, man, listen, stand out. Is that the fuse call? Like a woo-hoo, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Like that. It's like a wild animal call. Listen, man, you hear that in young people? Complain, 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 complain. Man, stand out. Be different. Honor your authority. Let honoring things come out of your mouth. Come on, can you give God a hand for that, huh? Listen, God's in control. And when we're spirit-filled, there's a humility there. Why? Let me break this down where I'm going real quick, because I'm running out of time. All right, you ready? Okay, so follow along. Here's the deal, man. It's all about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, most of the things that we're praying for, we wouldn't even pray for if we would just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because what does the Bible say the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace. How many of us were praying, we're trying, we want to forgive that person. We're trying to pray for that. And we're, do you know how many things you wouldn't need to pray for if you just walk in love? And you can't walk in love unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're depressed. We're sad. Things aren't going our way. We wish things would change. The Bible says that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to pray for joy. You just get filled with the Holy Spirit. Peace, we're stressed out, we're freaked out, we're na na na, blah, blah, blah. Have y'all noticed that's my new whatever? How long can I do that for? A couple of months? I think it sums up a lot of our attitude, doesn't it? Our attitude is like this, na 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 na. We're all stressed out, freaked out. Man, peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Goodness, gentleness, patience. Oh, we're so impatient. We should have had that thing 2 weeks ago. We're impatient about everything. What patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit? How about goodness, kindness? Some of you are just downright, you are so mean. And we are all praying for you to stop being mean. Why don't you just help us out so we don't have to pray anymore and be filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on, can you give God a hand for that? Do you see honor, humility? This is Christ-likeness. You know what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is? That's Christ-likeness. Have you ever used to hear, you know, when I just came into the church and these preachers would come in and they preach on holiness and you got to live holy and God's a holy God and you better live holy. And he would look at me like, just look at the church with these eyes like, ooh. So I started thinking, what's holiness? So that was my, I guess holiness, I didn't even know what it was. I mean, I know it was not sinning. I know it was obeying the Bible. But that made me feel like if I was going to be holy, I was going to kind of be like, you know, like, be weird. Be, you know. You've heard that saying, you know, what is it? And y'all figured out how to read my mind now. This is how my staff has to work with me. You know why they have to be spirit-filled? Because they have to have discernment and words of knowledge and wisdom so they can figure out what I'm trying to say. Isn't that right? I mean, our worship team, it's been incredible how they've learned how to read my mind. Because I've only got one sign for about 10 things. It's this right here. So when y'all see me doing this, this could mean keep the song going. It can mean go to the next song. It can mean hurry up and wrap it up. There's all kind of things it can mean. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit around here, man. What was I talking about? Holy. So anyway, and then finally, when I was studying the scriptures and I was studying the, if you want to know what holiness looks like, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Holiness is love. Holiness is joy. Holiness is having peace. Holiness is gentleness. Holiness is patience. Are you following? That's what holiness, and guess what? I have good news for you. It's not your holiness anyway. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus' holiness. And the only, listen, you don't need Stovall's love. Stovall's love, it's conditional. It's unstable. It's back and forth. You know what you need? You need Jesus' love. You need Christ's love through Stovall. We need to show Christ's love. Do you like that? Christ love. Let me wrap it up here. So there's honor, humility. Second thing, thankfulness. Third thing, thankfulness. Listen, there's no greater expression of the born-again spirit, I believe, than thankfulness. When we're always talking about we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world, what's the difference between Christians and non-Christians or whatever like that, the number one difference that I see, and it happens when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, and being it's thankfulness. Because when you get saved, and God gives you that new spirit on the inside of you, and it has a desire to know and reciprocate gratefulness back to this awesome God that has saved us from our sins, saved us from hell, and given us eternal life. I think that it is the number one manifestations of people being born again. They are thankful regardless of the circumstances they are in. Come on, can you give God a hand? Let's be a thankful. Thankfulness is the foundation of being happy. Say, I'm blessed. You know that word blessed? That word blessed, it means, oh, how happy. When you say, I'm blessed, you're saying, I'm happy. You're saying, I'm happy in God. I'm happy in God. Number four is energy. Everybody say energy. Energy. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have, I see this in our church and our staff, we have an energy. We're leading from the front row. We're a thermostat, not a thermometer. Can I hear it from the 252 interns right here on the front row? Is this the 252? Right here. You know what they're doing? They are the thermostat of tonight's meeting. They're up here on the first couple of rows. They were engaging God in worship. They're at least acting like they're listening to what I'm saying. And I'm looking at their notes. I see a couple of doodle faces and I'm kidding. They're up here. They're taking note. You know what they're doing? They're setting the temperature for what this meeting is going to be like. And there's so many things in Christianity and experiencing God and experiencing the presence of God, it's caught, it's not taught. And I just encourage all of you as our leaders, when you come to God's house on Sunday, man, engage God, have that energy. It's a powerful witness to others, and it will help free people up to experience God and worship and all those other things as well. The next thing is engaging people. I just find this when people are spirit-filled, I see more people engaging people. In other words, you know, they're not just kind of talking with the same people that they always talk to about the football game or whatever, but there's more of a sensitivity to people coming. Do you realize the droves of humanity that come through Celebration Church every single weekend? Some of those people are going through horrific things, confused, hurt, lonely, just coming in here. Trying to find God. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll be obedient to those promptings and we'll be looking out for others and how to encourage them, minister them, have them sit by us, whatever it is. More engaging to people. Some of the most powerful ministry Jesus did was one-on-one. There's so much opportunity for one-on-one ministry here every single weekend. The sixth thing is encouraging. We're encouraging. Encourage, it means to give courage. You know, our world is discouraged. I think the church should be not only encouraged, but we should give courage to others. And the last thing is, this is the best I know how to describe this. I call it a wartime mindset. A wartime mindset. In other words, yes, man, we understand that we live in this world and you know, God's given us all things to enjoy and we have fun and all that kind of stuff, but let's never forget this is about eternity. This is heaven and hell. Our life is but a vapor. It's here 1 second and then it's gone. We have to live for the eternal. We are in a war. Every day people die and they go to spend an eternity without God. It's a wartime mindset. Great scripture for you to memorize is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. One time I was, not Kaylin, but my two young ones, Stovey and Annabelle, I read them a bedtime scripture every night. And they're always like, Daddy, what's the nightly verse? What's the nightly verse? And I think they do it a lot of times, like just to prolong going to bed. How many of you parents know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? So one night we had Carrie and I had prayed for them and we'd done the verse and all this kind of stuff, you know, and they're still, hey, what's another nightly verse? And what, you know, they're doing their deal. So I go in there and I say, it's 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of the world is at hand. Well, it kind of backfired on me. Because it took me about 20 minutes to kind of explain that. Dad, the end of the world? What? But man, we have to have that wartime mindset. You know, there was a luxury ship, like a cruise liner, this big luxury cruise liner, 5,000 people, just mega high luxury back in the days of World War II. And when World War II broke out, they had to convert it to a wartime vessel. So what they did was they stripped it down, and instead of all the fine china and all that kind of stuff, it was like, you know, metal trays and bunk beds. Instead of 5,000 people, they made it where 18,000 people could fit on this ship, and they could bring men and supplies across the Atlantic. And then after World War II ended, there was a period there where they didn't want to convert it all the way back to the luxury liner, you know, just in case something else broke loose. So they kind of did it a half and half. And you would go on this ship, and on one side of the ship, it's chandeliers and this plush sofas, and you'd sit down, and there'd be like fine china and everything. You'd go into, your room and your suite. It was super luxury. And then you could step right across the hall, and in those very same rooms where one set of china was, there would be like 15 metal trays where they could feed 15 people in the place of what was holding one set of china for one person. You would go in a room, what was a room on the luxury side for a one-bedroom suite. You'd go in that same room on the wartime side, it would be 15 bunk beds. And people would talk about how they would go on the cruise, and it would be so weird to be in this state of luxury, and then you could step over and instantly go into that wartime mentality. I think the church, we need to have that wartime mentality. In other words, yes, we're in this world and we enjoy the things that God's given us, but man, let's always be sensitive to take a walk in that wartime arena and remember what's it all about and what's at stake. Can I have a good amen to that? Come on, let's be a Christ-like staff in 2011. Three things I want you to remember about, and I know this doesn't necessarily apply to all of our locations, but here at Midtown, please pray about attending our Atlantic Coast High School once a month. If you've been here on Sundays, it is just totally packed out, jammed out. That is the only way. We're talking about a wartime mentality. By you freeing up seats at Midtown here, it creates space for people to come in that need Jesus. And we do not have the space at Midtown right now. We need more people. We have about 400 people or so going over there. We need like another few hundred. And if you just went out there once or twice a month, it would make a difference. It's the same service. I preach live out there. It's just at the brand new Performing Arts Theater. Very, very important. Remember to pray about your commitment cards for Imagine this year. You know, everything's looking great. We just need to stay strong. And, you know, it just depended on how our church finances do. I want you to give God a hand. Give yourselves a hand. This past year, watch this. This past year, it was a record year financially for our church. Everything, we broke every record last year. Can you give God a hand for that? So all we need our this year, just keep growing. Our tithes go up a little bit. We need to bring in, you know, about $100,000 a month in our building campaign, and we'll be right there ready. Whether it's, you know, May or June, we'll just be right there ready to close the deal and break ground. But we've got to keep that wartime mindset in our giving, in our serving, and in every area. Let me pray for you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.